2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're continuing our message from last Sunday, seeing as we didn't have enough time to finish it all. And I want to read beginning with verse 7 through verse 14. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Better translated, the lie. There's a definite article, the, before lie. That they all might be judged. The word damned is not a good translation. It has to do with judgment. Like at the judgment seat of Christ. Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the man of sin, or the man of lawlessness, who is after the working of Satan. Verses 3 and 4 uses the expression, let no man deceive you. Because we know that there must come a falling away first, then the man of lawlessness is to be revealed. And he will exalt himself above all that is called God. The key here is let no man deceive you. Secondly, this mystery of lawlessness, the word iniquity is the word for lawlessness, is already working. It was working in Paul's day, it is working even more so today. And this mystery of lawlessness is to deceive many. And of course it's already working. In verses 9 and 10 it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Today, Satan is deceiving people. It's easy to deceive the lost. But let me tell you, beloved, saved people can be deceived as well. And the only way that we can keep from being deceived is having a love for the truth. If you don't have a love for the truth of the Word of God, you can be deceived by the devil and his angels. We know that in the last days that men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. When you hear a doctrine of a demon, do you know it as being different from the Word of God? One of the doctrines of demons is forbidding to marry. You don't need to get married. Just live with them until you figure that you're going to make it. See, that's a doctrine of the devil. Another one has to do with foods. You can't eat this meat, you can't eat that meat, you can't do this, you can't do that. Goes into the environment and all that. These are doctrines of demons. And when you hear that kind of thing, does the Word of God counter that error in your heart? Satan is working today to deceive. We know that Satan is a murderer from the beginning. John 8:44 tells us, and it says that he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh, it's a lie. He is he that speaketh, and he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of a lie. When you hear doctrines of demons, you need to say it is a lie. And it comes from Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 tells us, Paul says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety or craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Did you know Satan can corrupt your thinking? He can corrupt your mind. He is crafty. You've seen magicians on TV, maybe in a show. And they're not doing anything magic. They're just illusionists. They just make you think that they're doing magic. And Satan is the same way. He is crafty. He knows how to use the Word of God. Remember, he tried to use the Word of God on Jesus. He says, Jesus, just throw yourself off the temple and the angels will swoop down and get you. And the Lord said, you're not in another place it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Period. Satan had nothing else to say. Satan is subtle. He is crafty. And he can corrupt your thinking. And we need to know that. In 1 John 2:18 it says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. That is, an Antichrist is a teacher of lawlessness. And the teacher of lawlessness says simply this, you can live any way you want to. If you're saved, you're in the family, nothing can change that. You can cheat a little, you can lie a little, and the list goes on. And that's what the Antichrist, or the spirit of Antichrist, is doing. He is telling Christians today, it doesn't make any difference how you live. You're saved, you're okay. You've heard the expression, you're okay, I'm okay. That is a doctrine of demons. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. This is one of the tests that we can use. When it comes to our inheritance, Satan wants to deceive us. And when he wants to deceive us, he's going to tell us that fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and the effeminate and the abuse of themselves with mankind, in other words, the homosexual, you can steal a little, you can be covetous, you can be drunk, you can, you know, getting social drinking is okay and getting drunk is no big deal, nor revilers, nor extortioners. You can do these things and get away with it. But Paul says you can't. You can't live this way and get away with it. What's going to happen is that you're going to lose your inheritance in the coming kingdom. You're going to be disqualified from ruling and reigning. Doesn't say anything about your salvation. Inheritance has nothing to do with salvation. Though that there are many that teach that we inherit our salvation, but that's not true. Inheritance is a family matter. If you're in the family, you can look to see if your name is on the will. But if you are not in the family, you might as well forget looking at the will. Unless there is a very generous person that will include you. But the point is this, inheritance is a family matter. It is not a salvation matter. And the devil will tell you that It doesn't make any difference how you live. You're going to get your inheritance anyway. That's a lie. That's a lie. In 2 John 1:7, it says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." And the verb there means not only has come in the flesh, but He continues in the flesh today. Jesus Christ is in His flesh, in His body of flesh and bones today. His blood is on the mercy seat, but His body of flesh and bones is at the right hand of God the Father. Antichrist says, He has not come, and He is not coming again, because that's the whole idea, that the Antichrist wants you to forget the fact that He's coming again, because that might encourage you to live a life that would be pleasing to the Father. It says that this is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, the love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, it says, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth." This portion of Scripture is dealing with believers. Only a child of God has a life to lose. If you've never been saved, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And dead men don't fear dying. And this word perishing is, perish is in the present tense. It is a process. And because of the use of the term perish, this is a person that has come into the light, a deeper light of the Word of God. He understands what perishing is all about. And this person who has not received the love of the truth, whereby he might be saved. Now this word, this is confusing here, because we always think of being saved as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and that's how you get saved. But there's more than one salvation in the Scriptures. You need to know that. And I think I shared this with you last week. When Peter was drowning after walking on the water, and he said, "Lord, save me," Peter wasn't looking for the plan of salvation. He was looking for a helping hand, which the Lord did when He reached down and grabbed Peter by the nap. Well, it doesn't tell us what He grabbed him with, but I'm sure it might have been the nap of his neck. like a mama cat does her kitten, and he brought him into the boat. So there's more than one salvation, and we need to appreciate that. One place that will help us with this is in 2 Timothy 2:10-12, where Paul says, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory." Here is a salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is different from the salvation that brings you into the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're brought into the family of God. You're in Christ. Then there is a salvation in Christ which pertains to the coming kingdom and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as those in the world may not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there are those that are in the body of Christ that may not receive the salvation that pertains to His coming kingdom and glory. That's the reason why Paul, in this particular verse, says that they may also. The word "may" is in the subjunctive in the Greek grammar. There's a possibility they may not. That's the Lord's business, okay? I'm not here to try to work through that this morning, but the point is this. The subjunctive means that there's a possibility of them failing. Now, I want to continue in verse 11. It is a faithful saying that if we be dead with Him, that is, if we die with Christ, we shall also live with Him. That is, being dead to self. That's the point here. If we suffer or endure, the word, it would be better translated endure, we shall reign with Him If we deny him, he will also deny us. Deny us how? Deny us from reigning. So the salvation that in Christ has to do with ruling and reigning with Christ. Okay? Now, we need to love the truth. Now, what is the truth that he is speaking about? It has the definite article the before it. The definite article the is saying there is a specific truth that we need to love. And if we don't love that truth, we are susceptible to being deceived. Now, in John 16:13, we find truth mentioned with the definite article before it. Howbeit, when the Spirit of the truth is come, he will guide you in all the truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's the truth that we're talking about. He will show you things to come. Not things that are now, but things that are coming. What's coming in the life of a child of God? The kingdom. Ruling and reigning with Christ. Our inheritance. Look in Hebrews 9:11. It says, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come. Jesus Christ is our high priest concerning what? Our inheritance. Our gold and our silver and our precious stones. Our crowns. He is our high priest concerning those good things to come. 10 cities, 5 cities, 20 cities, a nation, a tribe. Remember, the 12 apostles will be over the 12 tribes of Israel. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 20, it's further defined. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning what? Things to come. What was Jacob and Esau's, what was Isaac's blessing having to do with? It had to do with Jacob and Esau's inheritance. And Esau should have got a double portion inheritance because he was the firstborn, but he lost it. Didn't lose his salvation. He was still a part of the family. He was still a brother to Jacob. Jacob didn't deserve it. Isn't that neat? Jacob was a supplanter. He didn't deserve it, but you know what? God had chosen him to receive it, and he got it. That just shows you that God is gracious in choosing and giving to people, his children, things they don't deserve. Why? Because he wants to. Not because you're a good boy or girl, but because he wants to. And he can do that if he wants to. Now, this salvation in Christ has to do with Paul's gospel. In verses 13 and 14 of 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, but we are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. This salvation he's referring to is the salvation in Christ. Not the salvation that brings you into Christ. It's the salvation that's in Christ. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Now this word Spirit is capitalized, but I don't think this is the Holy Spirit. This sanctification of the Spirit is my spirit. Do I have a sanctified spirit of meekness? Or do I have a sanctified spirit of fear? You follow what I mean? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of sonship. Now that's the spirit that needs to be sanctified to glorify the Father and the Son. This spirit here has to do with my attitude, my purpose. It needs to be set apart unto what? Loving the truth, pursuing the prize that is before us, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that righteousness is the righteousness of God by faith, or the righteousness of God through pleasing Him. Okay? not only sanctification of the Spirit, but belief of the truth. Both of those. Purpose of dedicating ourselves to the Lord and believing, and not only believing the truth, but developing a love for the truth. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the love of the truth pertains to. Obtaining the glory. That's the salvation in Christ Jesus that we just got through reading. Which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory. That is a glory that pertains to the coming kingdom age, the kingdom period. Now, Satan is in the business of deceiving those who know the truth and do not develop a love for the truth. Okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, it says, Paul talking about himself, I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Paul was not in control or being controlled by the devil. He was honest. He was not a liar. Paul was an honest man. He was not a liar. The devil wasn't working in Paul. Paul was not crafty like the devil is crafty. Paul was not handling the word of God deceitfully to get you mixed up, to get you confused. He was manifesting the truth. What truth? Pertaining to our inheritance, pertaining to the glory of our Lord in His coming kingdom. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel, what was Paul's gospel? Calling us to obtain the glory. What glory? The glory in His coming kingdom. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are perishing. The word lost would be better translated perish, and because it is a present middle, it should be perishing for themselves. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This is not a very happy translation of this portion of Scripture, and it should be, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul's gospel pertained to the gospel of the glory of Christ. Satan is blinding the minds of those who are saved from this truth. He can't take away, he can't change your relationship. If you're in the family, that's forever settled. But he can rob you of your inheritance. And that's what he is doing today. He is a deceiver and he is trying to get you to lose what God has provided for you. And he will do it if you don't develop a love for the truth. If you don't develop a love and a desire to stand in his presence approved, you are already in trouble. Satan can beat you. But if you develop a love for the truth, then he is not going to deceive you. And let me tell you, these that are perishing here are those who know the truth, but choose to change that truth into a lie. In fact, you find that in Romans 1:25, beginning. Who change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. I know that what men are teaching about Romans 1. Romans 1 has to do with the homosexual community and all the debauchery that goes with that. But let me tell you, I think there's more in Romans 1 than just possibly that. What I see in Romans 1 is a Bible teacher who has a regard for another Bible teacher to the point that he is willing to change his position in the Word of God to be accepted by them or him. That's what I really see in Romans chapter 1. It says they are willing to change the truth of God into a lie. Why would one want to do that? I think it has to do with being accepted by other people now. And if a man is willing to do that, you know that God is willing to send strong delusion to that individual where he can never come back to the truth again. That's the same thing that happens in Hebrews chapter 6. If you've come into the knowledge of the truth and you turn from it, it's impossible to renew you again to that truth. You're done. It's over. The same thing we find in 2 Peter chapter 2, where it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the deeper knowledge, the added knowledge of the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." It's better for them not to know. It's better for you not to know the truth than to know it and escape the pollution through the deeper knowledge of the Word of God and then turn again to it. In Romans chapter 1 it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened." This is God sending them strong delusion. Now, a lot of people put that strong delusion in the tribulation. I personally feel like because that work is going, the mystery of lawlessness is going on today, that strong delusion is occurring today. A lot of people want to apply that strong delusion in saying that you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When Jesus Christ comes again, you don't have a chance. I just don't think that's true. I just think that if you live to be over 120 years old, you might have a point. But I don't know anybody living over 120 these days, because the Lord told Noah, He says, "I'm going to give man 120 days, 120 years." I said 120 days, I didn't mean that. 120 years, I'll give man that long to make up their mind. And of course, back in those days, they lived 600, 700, 800 years. But anyway, and in Romans 1:28 it says, "Even as they did not retain God in their deeper knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient." What did they begin to do? The very things that will disqualify them for ruling and reigning, for them losing their inheritance. And you find that in Romans 1:29-32. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers," and the list goes on. Verse 32 tells us, "who knowing," epinosis, knowledge upon knowledge, added knowledge, "the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of thanatos, death," which is the death that comes from perishing, "not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them." It's just beyond me. What they would rather have is pleasure for a season now. What did Moses reject? He rejected the pleasures of sin for a season that he might have the blessings of God in eternity or in the ages to come. There are Christians today that would rather have recognition and have all the pleasures of sin. And let me tell you, sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, there wouldn't be so many people doing it, would they? Sin's fun. You have to put that on the line. But let me tell you, if you're a child of God and you've come to the knowledge of the truth, you better keep loving that truth and don't let the pleasures of sin creep in, because you'll wish you they hadn't. Now, what is he going to deceive us doing? Well, I want to just close with this one verse in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life for the age. The Spirit here is not the Holy Spirit. The Spirit here has to do with the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of adoption, a Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. If I sow to those things, I'm going to reap life for the coming age. And reaping life for the coming age has to do with the glory of the kingdom and ruling and reigning with Christ. Let us be not weary in well-doing. Did you know you can get tired of doing this? You can get tired of being faithful to the Lord. And it will become wearisome. But let me tell you, in due season we'll reap if we don't faint. May the Lord help us to develop a love for the truth, a love for His coming kingdom and glory, and press toward the mark for the prize that will qualify us to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. Rather than hearing this truth and abandoning it, and the Lord sends you strong delusion so you can never come back to this truth again and enjoy the blessings of His coming kingdom, you're out. You don't lose your salvation. You're just disqualified from ruling and reigning. It does make a difference how you live, and the Satan will tell you it doesn't. Don't believe him. Father, we just come to you again to thank you for your word. It provides us light that we need for our walk today, that we might glorify the Father in the Son by being faithful to you, believing your word, resisting Satan's attempt to blind us, to deceive us, to cause us to lose our inheritance, to cause us to sow to the things of the flesh, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, as Moses rejected, that he might have the blessings, your blessings upon him in the ages to come. Help us, Lord, to purpose in our hearts to honor Thee in our everyday walk. Lord, knowing that our redemption draweth nigh, and as we see the signs of the times, as we see the turmoil in Israel, we know that our redemption draws nigh and your coming is soon. Bless the message to each of our hearts, for it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.